Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is New You. There's a city in England, a little northeast from Liverpool, Manchester, and the name of that city is York. Now, that's the original York, but there's a what? There's a New York. Now, the New York is nothing like the original York, because it's the New York, okay? So this thing about being new, you read the definition for something that's new, not existing before, made, introduced, or discovered recently, or now for the first time. Can also be not previously owned or used, of recent origin or arrival. So you say, I got a new car. It turns out it might be 20 years old, but it's what? It's new to you, but it's not new. Already existing, but seen, experienced, or acquired recently and now for the first time. But new can also be unfamiliar or strange to someone. So here's one of the tricky things about becoming a Christian. Some people don't do it because everything would be new. So it's a little scary. New is scary. I talked to a kid very recently, and he's going from the sixth grade to the seventh grade. And that's all going to be new. And I remember being that age, and I remember being not as big as everybody else. And I remember thinking, this is going to be terrifying, and I'm going to get beat up. And they're going to say things and do things, and it's going to be overwhelming. And I'm not sure I want to go to that new class, that new school, that new arrangement, because it can be overwhelming. Can also be different from a recent previous one, something new in addition to another or others already existing. Just beginning or beginning anew in regard is better than what went before. And we'll talk about this in a minute. You say, well, I'm going to start a new life. And let me just say this so I don't forget it later. You can't start a new life unless you have a new life. Because if you are who you are and you go to a quote-unquote new place, new situation, new house, new whatever, not the same as, if you are still you, it isn't going to be different in the new place because you're not new. Okay? So you think, well, I need a new husband. I need a new wife, not the one I have because this is screwed up. The problem is, though, if you're screwed up in that marriage, there's a good chance the new one's going to find that out about you, too. So at some point, you say, well, if the old me's not working and I need a new me, where do I get a new me? So let's start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go left to right, and I'm going to call out some names of some books in the Bible. You're going to be pretty sure they don't exist, but I promise you they're in there, and I'll help you find them. So Genesis 1, 1. Literally says this, in the beginning, God did something. He created the heavens and the earth. And this type of creation is, and I don't usually throw things like this around, but it's ex nihilo, which means from nothing. So when you create something from nothing, you almost have to create the nothing first to create the something from the nothing, because even nothing doesn't exist. So God is in the business of creating things from absolutely nothing. And boom, there they are. Now that's power. Isaiah 43. And some of these might be very encouraging to you depending on where you are in your life. But Isaiah 43 verse 18. And this is Old Testament. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Stop dwelling on what's in the past, what you know about. I'm going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God talks to him, even in the Old Testament, about doing a new thing. And a new thing is something they don't know anything about. Okay, so you think, I've figured everything out. Everything that exists already exists. And I'm very intrigued by this. I think, well, we've got these big airports. Will the day come in my lifetime, maybe if you're younger in yours, when those airports will just be giant pieces of real estate that somebody will want to buy because they're obsolete? You say, well, what are you talking about? What would happen? I don't know, some new thing, right? Maybe we're all flying around in drones. Maybe, you know, something else gets invented. You say, well, everything's been invented. Yeah, they thought that a few years ago too. The computer will never work. Dick Tracy, you know, what was his name? Dick Tracy and the watches on your wrist. You know, when you're a kid thinking, oh, that'll never happen. You know, Apple Watch. And you think, well, that's it. And then they start implanting things in your body. And hopefully I'm in heaven when all that starts. Lamentations chapter 3. Now you say, where's Lamentations? Go, I think it's two books over from where you are. Okay, you're right there. So don't get freaked out. You can find this. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And this also is another reason why you should read the whole Bible. Because you go, well, I just read John and Genesis, and you know, I don't get bogged down all this other stuff. Look at these verses. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. This is, again, Old Testament. The mercies of the Lord were not consumed because his compassions fail not, new every morning. So what does that mean? His compassions new every morning. Every day, every day, every day. New every morning. Do you count on that? Because you can't make it without that. He shows up fresh and new every day. So go to John chapter 3, New Testament. Now this is one of the probably most quoted verses when we get to it. And you think, well, everybody knows this stuff. I don't think they do anymore. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so Jesus inserts this thing about being born again. If you've had a baby, seen a baby born, a grandbaby, any of that stuff, there's nothing like that kid, right? In the same way that there's no you out there, there's only one you, even if you're a twin, a triplet, it's still, there's only one you. So when a baby comes out of a womb, it's a new baby. There's nothing else like it. So when Jesus looks at him and says, you have to be born again or what? You won't be able to see, because you don't have on the first birth eyes that can see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But when you're born again, a new person is born, that person is a spiritual person, and that person has another set of eyes that can see spiritual things. So if you're not a Christian, you are a one-birth person, and you live in a physical world, and in that physical world with your physical eyes, you can look and see and observe someone's life. That's why Scripture talks about, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works, so they see what you're doing, how you're living, and as a result of that, they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. But that doesn't change their life unless they get curious enough and say, you know what? You have something I don't have. I see something physically, a manifestation of what's going on with you internally. How do I get that? That is a new person. It's not just the person you were born. So you've got a mind, soul, heart, body, all these things, but your spirit isn't alive spiritually until you are born again. And that gets activated, and then you can see things and understand things you just can't otherwise. Now, some people say, okay, well, I think I'd be better off living like a Christian. So what do? They emulate things in the Bible. They read the Bible and say, don't steal, don't do this, and it's the do's and don'ts. And they think if I just change my behavior, that will change my life and my eternal destination. It will not. You have to get a new life. And the only way to get a brand new life is to have a new birth. Okay, we all on the same page? So if you have not been born again, you will never see the things that we're talking about, because you don't have eyes to see, ears to hear in that new person. So he says, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? A little sarcasm in the Bible. Like, you know, what am I going to climb back in and come back out? Now you say, well, who would say that? He had no idea of any other possibility, because he's thinking physically, which most people that are born once think just physically, because that's all you got. But Jesus is not talking about getting back in and coming back out, because that's not new. Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, and some people try to make this into baptism, that's not what this is about. What happens before a baby's born with a woman? Water breaks. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So physical birth, flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you say, well, that sounds like two people. Exactly. So I got the first me that was born physically in this body, but I have, because I've experienced a second birth, I got a new me living in this old me. Okay? So you say, well, I'm a Christian. I got the new me living in the old me too, but the old me's running my new me. So I look like the old me, not the new me. So here's what happens to you if you got a new me living in the old me. You say, well, I must not be a Christian because I'm living like I used to, but you're sick of it. Because see, if there's only one you living in there, that's all you know to do. But the new me starts saying, dude, what are we doing? Well, I like doing this. This is who I am. I'm not changing. Oh yeah, you are. Because you're going to get sick of this. Because you can't live in sin any longer. Now you might sin, but you can't live in sin. And this drives some people nuts who are determined to prove that they're who they used to be. And this can apply to anything. Somebody, the Bible says, let him who steals steal no more. Why? Why do people steal? They get off on stealing. They might be lazy. They just might like the, wow, it's so exciting. I'm sure stealing is exciting. I mean, I've done it before. It's been a long time. You know what? It hasn't been a long time, actually. This is a weird deal. This is how subtle this is. I'm on the golf range hitting golf balls. I go in, I get my big bucket of balls. I go out there. And I'm hitting my bucket of balls, and then there's a putting area where somebody hits their bucket of balls, and then they leave them. So if you run over there and act like you're chipping their bucket of balls and put their balls in your bucket and go back over, you got two buckets. You say, well, you just found some balls on the driving range. No, I stole a bucket of balls. I didn't pay for that bucket. So what did I do? I called, didn't go in there because it was too hot and I was too tired. I called the pro shop, and I said, I just need to let you know I found a bunch of balls. Someone left, and I took those, and I went, and I hit those too, and I'll come in and let you punch my card again. And the guy said, wow, thank you so much for calling. Why? Because nobody does that. They just steal the balls and go home. So you say, well, wow, why would you admit something like that? Because we're all in the fray. Because the old man is trying so hard to get away with stuff because he doesn't want the new guy to run the show. It's hard being second when you were first. And the old man don't like losing to the second birth. Who's this new guy? I think he's going to run my house. This is my house. This is how we roll. This is what we do. This is who we are. You can't come in here and tell us we're changing all this. We like doing what we used to do. And the new guy goes, sorry, I'm the new guy. And it's all new now. We're not doing that anymore because we don't have to. Now you say, well, that's not happening in my life. If you live, it will. Because God will allow you to go right back out there and get in all that crap you were in. And then you'll wake up and go, what in the world? This used to be fun. I feel terrible now. I don't want to feel terrible. I want this to be okay. It'll never be okay again because there's a new man running your house. Okay, so keep reading here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and from where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So you say, well, what does that mean? You could be sitting in this room. You could be walking down the street. You could be in your car. You could be in your office. You can be wherever you are listening or at any time. And all of a sudden, like a breeze, a wind that you can't see, the Spirit of God, bam, hits your life. And you go, what was that? And where did that come from? Don't ask so many questions. Say, Lord, is that you? And he says, yeah, that's me. You sense that. Respond to that. And say, okay, I don't want to fight you. I know you exist. It looks like you've touched my heart. You've touched my life. You've stirred me in some way and given me faith to believe. I'm going to believe. Now, here's what you can't do. Just because the new guy moves in your house, it may take a while for the new guy to take over the house. And don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary. We talked about with some men recently in well-doing because the transition, you say, well, it should all be new. It should be immediate. The reality is it's not. It's a process. Birth is an event. Growing up is a process. New birth is an event. Growing is a process. And so it is going to be messy. Why do you think verses like in 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those verses are in there because we sin. And so when you sin, you confess. And hopefully what will happen is you'll get tired of confessing, if not just get tired of sinning. Because at some point you just feel like an idiot. Why am I back here confessing the same thing I've been confessing for 30 years? This doesn't make any sense. This is not who I'm supposed to be, who I even want to be. Who will deliver me from the body of this death, it literally says. Okay, so only death or Jesus returning delivers you from this. So you're stuck in this body with two people. But every day you wake up, you make a decision who's running this house. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go down to verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Okay? So I look at somebody who becomes a Christian, not been a Christian, young, you know, they're making a mess. So you say, but okay, but that's not working. They're newborns, there's no change. Yes, there's change, but you've got to stop looking at people for the old person they were and start looking at them as though they're a new person and assume they're going to grow, they're gonna change, it's all gonna be okay. But what do churches do? Someone comes in, they fall on their butt and we pounce on them. Oh, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be living like that. You did. Why are you busting their chops when you filled diaper after diaper way past your time? Right? So you have to be gracious. You say, yes, it's sin, but they're newborns. So it takes some time to get up and running. It's going to be messy. Okay? So you patiently help people grow and say, okay, so what are we doing? Like, well, I went back out there and did this or that, whatever you're, you know, if it's drugs, alcohol, some sexual thing, whatever it is. You say, well, I went back out. Okay, well, let's stop going back out. That's not who you are anymore. What do you mean that's not who I am? That's what I'm doing, but that's not who you are. One of the trickiest things in the world is to take in somebody who has been a drug addict, maybe drug dealer, alcohol, whatever it is, some addiction. They've ended up in prison. They've been, you know, told, you know, almost died when you were born. You're a loser. You'll never amount to anything. And so you take that person and they believe all that stuff. And then you put the new man in there, they become a Christian, and now God himself lives in there, and you start trying to explain to them, say, look, the stuff you were told, the lies you were told based on what you, where you came from and your behavior, that is not who you are anymore. You have options. You don't have to live that way anymore. Then what does the devil do? Say, dude, don't listen to them. You got no other option. This is it. All right, the next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So because of what he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? Now look at these two words, new creation. Now what does that mean? That means it's unlike anything else. Literally, God who can create something from nothing, when you became a Christian, he made you a new creation. You look in the mirror and say, that's me. That's not you. That's the house you live in, but that's not the you that's going to live forever. Not the physical piece. Because you're going to have a new body, new heaven, new earth, all this stuff's in the Bible. So you say, well, that's who I see in the mirror. When the new man, new woman moves in and you're a new creation, even the person you see in the mirror starts looking different because your life begins to change from the inside out. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. So give it time for the new to kick in. Don't give up on new. It's better. Now, this is what I think Christians think and kind of why I'm going here today. What we have kind of been somehow adopted and believed is that God just took you and he has refurbished you. He's remodeled you. What are my other words here? He's restored you. He's improved you. He's making you better. He's just painting over the rust. He sanded you down and got you, you know, you say, well, it's kind of like you go to a junkyard. I think I've talked about those garage shows. I love these shows where they go get a, you know, a car out of the dump, the pound, what do they call it, salvage yard. And it's a terrible car. They load it up and they take it in and they take it apart and they dip it in acid and get, you know, and they rebuild the car. That's not what this is talking about. We're not rebuilding you. You get a new you. You say, oh, but God restored my life. He may have restored the new, but not the old new, not the old guy. You can't restore that guy. He's dead. We don't need him. So if you ever figure out there's a new you and what is possible with him in that life, your life's going to go nuts in the best of ways. Because then you start going, okay, wait a minute. So I'm not some old thing that's just been fixed up. No, there's a new you. And so you say, well, God, what does that mean? I've only had one new car in my whole life. And I'm going to tell you something. It's different. Because I usually had old cars and would never leave the house without jumper cables. Either for me or somebody else. And I'm going to tell you something about my old 78 Lincoln. I really don't even know where it is today. But I would not take it back restored over a new car. Because there's nothing like new. Last one, Revelation 21. And this is where it kind of gets a little exciting because we put everything in terms of what we see and categories that we have and what, you know, it'll be like based on what we know. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw what? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now you say, well, how is that possible? That can never happen. It's not going to happen. Now, I have not seen the new heaven and the new earth. Someone has. Who's seen it? This writer has seen it. What does he say? I saw a new heaven. So he has seen something that nobody had ever seen, including himself, and no category for. You say, well, it'll probably kind of look like this. Let me tell you something about the universe. This is just God showing off temporary house. And we don't even know where the edge of this thing is. So if this is something he just kind of created to do his thing while we're here, then what in the world is heaven going to be like? I'll tell you what it'll be, something new. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things that God had prepared for those that love him. And why? Because it's new. It's totally different. So when God says he has a new place for us there and he has a new life for us here, you need to get in on that new life. Keep reading this. Saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea's gone. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words, for they are true and faithful.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So you want a new life? You got to get a new life. You can't just change your location and think that's going to change your life, because wherever you go, there you are. And if there's not a new you there, it's just going to be the way it was the other place. So where do you start? You say, God, I've only been born once. I'd like to add a second birth and see what this is that you're describing and what is possible with a new person living in this old body, and let the new guy run my life, because the other guy is ruining my life and running my life. How much more devastation have you got to see for you to say, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do? How much more pain? How stubborn are you going to be? How stupid are you going to be? I can do it. That's two-year-old nonsense. I can do it by myself. It's not going to happen. So you get a new birth. And if you've got the new birth, then get in on the new life. You say, well, I don't know how. Why do you think we're so big on discipleship? It's raising kids. So someone comes along and says, okay, did you know this? I had no idea about that. Why didn't somebody tell me this? And I've shared this before. When the old man that helped me, Claude, helped me, I got furious. I was so stinking angry because he was teaching me things that someone should have taught me years before that would have saved me tons of pain about how to live the new life that God intended, not that old crap I was stuck in. So why do we get so upset that you, and why do we push so hard that you are left with just the old man? Because that's not how God intended this. Well, I'm going to go to some church where they'll leave me alone. I pray you don't. If you're going to go to some other church, go somewhere that's pushing to try to help you live the life that God intended, where you find out who the new you really is.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.